Hello and welcome to Great British Sewing Bee Unpicked with me, Rob.
And me, Sean.
And we are talking about Utilitarian Week, the semi-final, the penultimate episode of the podcast. But before we get into that, we're going to do our disclaimer that we are not associated with the Great British Sewing Bee, with Love Production, or with the BBC. This is just a podcast from two friends that like to talk about the show. So, utilitarian theme. Sean, what did you think?
I was intrigued. I kind of like these ones where they're like, they kind of take a kind of area of clothing, like when they do like sports week or underwear week, or I kind of like it because it kind of brings us back to home sewing again. It's not massively out there. It's back to the basics. And I was really looking forward to this one because from the clips we saw last week, there were going to be some exciting bits coming up.
Yeah, so utilitarian, it's a quite a broad term. And generally speaking, and I think for this episode, it was meaning workwear that is functional and hard wearing, no frills, things with lots of pockets, clean lines, multifunctional, not frilly, aesthetic. It's stuff that is made efficiently and is made for a purpose. So that's what I think they're meaning by utilitarian. I was kind of looking forward to this week as well. I quite like utilitarian wear.
I think it's one of those ones, it's deceptively tricky, because there is actually so much that goes into them. And I think it's also kind of like a staple clothing item as well. Everyone has something that is a little bit utilitarian. It's like dungarees you could class as utilitarian because they're there to kind of cover you up. They've got pockets, they've got to be robust. Certain trousers, like everyone has a little bit in their wardrobe. And I think this is what I quite like about this episode, is that they're really quite hot on, like, sorry, I'm now getting my words jumbled up. It's just a classic piece that actually everyone could use in their wardrobe, and something that is actually a really good skill for everyone to have as well.
Yes, dungarees definitely very utilitarian. I think next year I want to make myself like a little capsule collection, a couple pairs of trousers, some shirts, a shirt jacket, and I want to, oh, and shorts. And I'm going to use like maybe like two or three fabrics. I'll buy like, I don't know, 5-10 meters of each. And I'm going to make like a little mini capsule collection. Very simple, very utilitarian stuff that you can mix and match and wear together.
I love that idea.
Just because sometimes I make stuff and then I think, oh, I've made this lovely shirt, and then where am I going to wear it? It doesn't go with a lot of things in my wardrobe.
Yeah. And I've done that so many times where you just make something and go, oh, this is really, really nice, and go, oh, I really want to wear it, but now I've got to make something to go with it.
Yeah. And then you end up really just giving yourself more work. So I definitely, an aim for next year is, right, pick a few patterns that I know that I love, that fit me well, and then just make, yeah, two or three pairs of trousers, a few shirts, shorts, and then some plain t-shirts that go with everything. And then you've got like a little mini wardrobe together.
That sounds incredible. I mean, that's kind of my plan for this summer, is I would really like to have some pieces made by me for when I go back to university, and some nice smart trousers. I'm even going to attempt making a shirt. Like, I have to say, this season of Sewing Bee is starting to become very expensive for me. Very expensive for me.
Well, if you're making, like, I know you've made some nice trousers. If you can do those, then a shirt is absolutely nothing compared
Easy said than done.
to that. Right, now let's get cracking on the episode. Challenge one, the pattern challenge. It was a trench coat, like we just said. They had 5 hours to make this. It was double breasted with a storm flap. It had epaulettes. It had a two-piece collar. In total, there were 32 pieces. They suggested they should use something like a gabardine or a cotton twill. They had to ease the sleeves in, and there was 10 buttons. And I think it was hard to tell whether there was only 4 buttonholes or there were 6 buttonholes, because you couldn't tell on the epaulettes whether the button was just sewn down or whether it was actually a working kind of epaulette. But that to me was a scary amount of work for 5 hours.
That was a lot of work for 5 hours. That was terrifying.
Like, I think even just cutting out 32 pieces, you could probably spend, if you're cutting them out properly, you could probably spend easily the first hour, if not more, just cutting the pieces out.
Oh, definitely. And also, the scary bit is like when you've got so many pattern pieces. And little fiddly ones, like the belt loops, it's so easy to lose track of those pieces. So yeah, that is a lot of work. That was a very stressful challenge.
Yeah, and also the large pieces as well, like the front pieces and the back pieces of the trench coat. Cutting out large pieces where you maybe don't have a huge table or you're on the floor cutting out, it can be quite tricky to not have the pattern pieces move as you're cutting them, especially if you're doing a rush.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I thought that Esme and Patrick were quite cruel with this. I thought this seemed like more of a challenge for the final, maybe, because it was so tough.
But I mean, we are at the semi-final now, so they really want to weed out the top three. Because I don't think they're going to be as nice to have a top four like we did last year. So yeah, it's I think this is to really kind of work out who was the top three of our final four.
Yeah. Also, a little shout out to Amber Butcher, who does the fabric and the pattern history sections. I always think it's quite funny when they'll be talking about pattern, and then it'll be like, and now cut to Amber Butcher, who gives you the background of it. And it was quite interesting hearing about Aquascutum and Burberry, who, as brands, are both still around now, which is quite interesting that they've kind of endured and are still. Even though they're doing very different things, maybe to how they started, how they're still around.
You know what? That bit actually put a massive smile on my face because, as you know, but our listeners might not, I sadly lost my granddad last year. And my granddad was a very plain dresser. He was your classic granddad's wardrobe. And it was when mum and I were going through his wardrobe, I discovered my granddad had Burberry.
Oh, wow.
My granddad had a Burberry trench coat, and my mum turned around to me because everything was going to charity shops. Mum's like, that can't go to a charity shop. That's such a lovely special piece. And she knew my granddad would have wanted me to have it, but sadly, there's was quite a significant height difference between me and my granddad. So what would it look like a normal trench coat on him? I look like a 5-year-old wearing their dad's coat. It
Oh.
literally came down to my ankles. You could only just see my shoes. It just looks so stupid. But I've still got it.
Could you
I've
take it
got.
up?
I kind of don't want to. I kind of just like having it. So yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I might try replicate it, but in a smaller size, just so I don't look like a 5-year-old wearing the granddad's coat. But yes, it was, that did, like, the moment she showed the Burberry shop, I just, my face just lit up and it just reminded me of finding this jacket. And yeah, it just made me very, very happy. And also, I did not know that the way jackets close on men's coats is different. I thought they all closed the same.
No, it's one of the, there's a few things where men and women's are done the opposite way. And traditionally, like belts, if you're putting belts on trousers, they could also go the opposite way for men and women.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there is a historical reason behind it, but I think there's also quite a bit of discussion about the historical reasons of why different people have told me different stories about how people used to have them dressed, whereas I think it was it women would be dressed by somebody else and then men were supposed to dress themselves or something like that. It was one of the
okay reasons.
But
all right,
but yeah, but I think nowadays a lot of these things are actually changing.
Yeah, I just, it was one of those things, like, and this is why I love her little segments, and also the little bits of like information that Patrick and Esme drop in, because it's not just a competition, it's actually very educational, and they really like to kind of focus on the fashion history of garments as well. And I really, really, this is one of the things I really, really love about this show, is that it's not just a friendly competition, this is educational as well. And yeah, it was just one of those, like, when they said it, and then I'm sat there going, I did not know that at all, but now I do. So now I can go on and make sure that everything is flowing in the, I suppose, correct way, and not just Shawnee throwing buttons wherever he feels like throwing them.
That is actually the other thing that they didn't really mention is the storm flap. And yeah, the reason why you would have the storm flap is so that it covers the top kind of opening, so if you were out in a storm, because they were originally for the army and for people in the trenches who would be exposed in bad weather, that it would stop water from getting into the coat through that kind of top opening.
Yeah, and again, something I didn't actually realise, I just thought it was a weird feature they put on the coat. Now I know that it's actually functional.
It is indeed. And you get storm flaps on coats and also on some bags as well. You'll see storm flaps that go over the, where it's almost like kind of like a lap zip almost. So that's supposed to stop the weather from getting into the bag. Right.
There we go.
Now let's talk about all four. So let's start at the bottom.
Yep.
In last place, in fourth, we had Vicky, who had used a military green pull-up fabric. Now, this is a waxed coated fabric, so every time it creases, it causes kind of creasing in the wax. It's sat on top of the fabric, which makes kind of lighter marks. It also means it's much more difficult to work with and press, because as you're pressing it, you're essentially melting the wax, which is on the surface of the fabric. So I think it can burn quite easily and stick to the iron and not be easy to work with. So she'd made her life quite difficult by picking that fabric. Although it looked nice, I think it was a bit of a nightmare to work with. And then I think that slowed her down. So when she got to the end, she was rushing and then put the buttons in the wrong place, and she had her jacket opening the wrong way. What did you think about Vicky's jacket?
Her fabric choice, in theory, was a very, very smart choice, because it's a coat that's supposed to be worn in bad weathers. So you want something that's going to be waterproof. But I do think she gave herself more of a challenge than she intended. because it's not exactly the easiest fabric to work with. I've tried working with it before and it just made me cry, and I crumpled it up and threw it over the other side of the room. It's not an easy fabric to work with, but I got the logic, I got the theory. It just didn't pan out the way she wanted it to, and it was actually really, really sad. And yeah, with the rush at the end, putting the buttons on the wrong way, some of them were a little skew-iff. It just wasn't a good way to start the semi-final.
Yeah, it was such a shame, because she is such an amazing sewer, and that decision on fabric just really threw her off and really kind of tipped the scales a little bit.
Yeah, it really did. But I have to say, there was probably one of my favourite bits ever with Vicky. And it probably was an editing issue. Was when Patrick came round and was talking to her about her fabric choice. And it was something along the lines of Patrick describing what it was, Vicky then saying how she was having trouble pressing it, because obviously it could melt. Patrick then saying, oh, did you use a cloth? And she said, oh yeah, but I am worried about it burning. And he went, yep. And then that was it. And I was like, thanks, Patrick. That was very helpful. It was just one of those moments. And it was probably an editing bit. He's probably given her a little bit of advice, but obviously they can't really be seen to be giving advice, I imagine. So they probably had to cut it out. But it just made me laugh of just like, yep, yeah, okay, walk off. It was one of those moments I could just imagine if that was like the full bit of Vicky going, yeah, thanks, Patrick. Thanks. That was really helpful of you. Thanks for coming over. But like I said, it was probably editing. He probably gave her some really lovely advice, tried to help her out, but obviously they can't be seen on camera giving advice to people. But that's what I hope happened anyway. But it just made me chuckle because I was just like, yeah, thanks, Patrick. That was helpful.
I hope they are helpful.
I imagine they would be, especially down to the semi-final. I think now that they've got less contestants, they can get round to people a lot more. So yeah, I imagine they are very, very helpful.
Right, that was Vicky. So next up, we've got third place, which was Mia, and she had used a kind of powder pink cotton twill. She'd used tortoiseshell. She'd used tortoiseshell and gold mirrored buttons. Yeah, so my notes I wrote in a real scribble here. I look like they're doctor's notes.
Nice. Well, don't ask me to read them, because I work with doctors and I can't read their handwriting sometimes.
I really liked Mia's coat. I thought the colour choice was lovely. The buttons were lovely. I thought it looked like it was sewn well. I thought it was quite a cool choice of colour that made it a bit more modern and relevant. I was a big fan of Mia's coat.
I adored this so much. I love the fact that she went, you know what, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to pick the colour I like. And I adored this so much. I would wear that coat. Like, I just loved, I thought it was such a beautiful colour. And Mia's also now the reason why I really want to make my own trench coat. I'm thinking of a mustard yellow one, because it's one of those, until you see someone do something a little bit creative and do something in a different colour that it's not typically seen in. Because typically, like, trench coats, black, brown, kind of a camel colour, you don't really get colourful trench coats. Not that I've seen anyway. So just seeing Mia do something quite unique, I was like, really loving this. I loved the coat. I thought she'd sewn it very, very well. Those buttons, though. Oh my god, I need those buttons.
They were cool, weren't they? They were like half and half, tortoiseshell and like mirror gold.
I don't even know what I'd use them for. I just want them. I
Yeah,
just want them to say I've got them.
I've not seen those buttons for sale anywhere, so I don't
No.
let
So, Mia, if you were listening to this, if you brought your own buttons in, can you please drop us a message to let us know where you got your buttons from? Because I really want them. Again, I don't know what I'd use them for. I just want them.
to go in the button collection.
Yeah, to go. I thought, oh no, they wouldn't even go in the button collection. They'd have their own little box.
You'd have them framed and up on the
Yeah,
wall.
they'd be in like a little drawstring bag, like just there, just in eyesight the whole time. But yeah, no, they'd never go in the button collection because they'd just go missing in there. But yeah, those were just so beautiful. Like this is what I loved. Like she just went, you know what? I've got a playful personality. I want that to be seen in my sewing, and you see it every time. And I really, really, really love Mia's sewing to bits. I think she's so creative, so fun. And just likes to put a little bit of herself in everything she makes.
Definitely, yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. And she's got a really good eye for things that go together and are maybe a little bit out there and, yeah, have her personality and just a really good taste level.
Oh, definitely. And my favorite bit was when she was just sat there going, oh no, I don't like pink. I've never used pink before, blah, blah. It's like when I tell people I don't like leopard print. It's just the biggest load of rubbish ever. But yeah, I will stop ranting, I will stop raving about Mia's work because this was just phenomenal. I loved it so much. I do feel like she should have been a little bit higher.
Yeah, I think there really wasn't a lot between Mia's and Tony's. So let's go on to talk about Tony's. Tony had used a military olive green. He had done contrast, like deep raspberry buttons. I did not like the buttons. There was something kind of off-putting to me about those buttons. They just really threw me. He had a little bit of the under collar showing through. And I think the buttons were just a tiny bit off, and there was a really small tuck in the sleeve where he'd inserted the sleeve and eased it in. But apart from that, the sewing looked fantastic. I thought it looked great. I thought it looked really good, wearable. I hope Tony wears that. I hope it fits him. I hope he gets some wear out of that because I think that trench coat looked lovely. I would just not be that keen on those buttons. What did you think of the trench coat?
I liked the buttons, just not on that trench coat. I like a statement button. I just felt like they were the wrong ones for that coat. Had he maybe have done like a black fabric, that could have worked a whole lot better. But I don't. I just. The two colors didn't go well for me. Just didn't really enjoy it. He did a good job. He did a very, very good job of sewing it. But I'm with you. The buttons just didn't really work for me at all.
Yeah, and his sewing was looked really good. But yeah,
Definitely.
it was just the buttons for me that kind of were kind of killing the look. So that was Tony's. And finally, in first place, we had Asma, who had used, it was kind of like a washed powdery blue colour, almost Air Force blue, but a little bit lighter. It was a cotton twill. I thought it was stunning. She'd used kind of almost marbled resin buttons, which I thought were fun and kind of made it modern. They said that there was a little tiny bit wonky. Like, I don't know whether it was the buttons that were a little bit wonky.
Yeah, I think it was the ones that were sewn on. So, not the functional buttons, the decorative buttons. I think some of them were just a little bit out of place with the ones they were supposed to correspond with. So yeah, I could see it, but oh my god, like I'm just gonna give up talking about asthma because like, I've literally run out of words to describe her sewing. Like, seriously, she is so good. And for someone who went into this going, oh, I'm a little bit worried about this, she knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, it was really beautiful. Like, they did a few close-ups of it, and the stitching was just so crisp and clean and parallel to the seams where there was top stitching. It was just amazing. I hope Asma gets wear out of this coat, because it'll look beautiful on.
She will rock it, turning up to work, walking into her clinic, wearing that coat. She will look amazing.
Yeah, I kind of want a trench coat now. I don't know if it actually suit me, but I kind of want one now.
I've got one that I bought from ASOS, and it comes down to my knees, and I really, really like wearing this one. I do quite like a trench coat.
I used to have a grey one years ago, and I did used to wear it sometimes to, because it was whenever I wore it, I felt quite smart. So I used to wear it to customer meetings, or if we took customers out for like Christmas do's and stuff. And yeah, I don't know what happened to that. I think I got too fat for it, and I think I gave it away.
Well, you know what? One, you're not fat. Two, maybe that's something we could challenge ourselves with over the summer. Is we'll both make a trench coat.
Maybe we'll challenge ourselves after Christmas. Because I've got quite a list of things to sew and a wedding to prepare for. Oh,
spoil sport.
But yeah, definitely. We'll have to keep an eye out for a good trench coat pattern. I wonder if they will be releasing any of the patterns from the show.
Oh, I'd love that. I would absolutely love that. You know what? There's one pattern I really want them to release, and I don't think they ever will, was Esme's amorphous dress.
Oh, yeah.
I would love, because I keep looking at it and I cannot work out how to draft that pattern at all. So, yeah, if they are ever going to release another pattern from the show, that is one that I'd really love.
Oh, yeah, that'd be interesting. You could do a men version of that and have a singlet that was tied at the shoulders and at the sides.
Yeah. See, I was just thinking just a nice little top.
Mm.
That would look really, really cute. But yeah, that's one pattern. But yeah, if they release that trench coat, because I've spent a small fortune on patterns, if they want to release some patterns, I could give them a list.
Right, well, that was the pattern challenge. Now let's move on to the second challenge, which is the transformation challenge. Now this was a non-conventional fabric challenge where our sewing bees were challenged to produce a stylish outfit made from cleaning products. And there were J cloths, there were microfiber cloths, there were mop heads, tabards, scrubbing brushes, all sorts there. What did you think as a general thing about this as a challenge?
I got a very strong sense of deja vu from this. It's not a challenge they've repeated, but there is a well-known drag queen that is on the same channel as Sewing Bee. And I'm pretty sure it was in their first season they gave the drag queens a challenge to take like household products and turn it into garments. And I'm pretty sure it was Cheryl Hole who ended up wearing a dress made from rubber gloves, and Bag of Chips, who wore a dress made of scourers. So it did give me a good little chuckle. It did. I was just sat there going, oh my God, where have I seen this before? And then remembered it was Drag Race. So yeah, that made me chuckle a lot. I was kind of half expecting to see someone just accidentally recreate one of those two dresses.
Yes, I knew that I'd kind of seen this kind of thing before, and I couldn't quite put my finger out. I don't remember Cheryl Hole's dress, but I do remember Bag of Chips. And also, in a later series, Tace also made a dress from those wire wool scrubbing things as well. And this kind of unconventional challenge has been on, I think, Project Runway have done stuff like this before. And the American franchise of RuPaul's Drag Race have done similar, maybe not with cleaning products, but with unconventional things around the house. So it's interesting. It's not the kind of thing people would do at home. Like, no one at home is going to start sewing together J cloths.
No, unless you're really cheap and just wanted to make one super J cloth. It's not something that people do at home, and it's one of those challenges where I kind of go, oh, really? But I actually, it made me chuckle, because the moment that deja vu kicked in, I was just giggling to myself. And you know what? They've just had a very stressful trench coat challenge. Let them have something a little bit more fun.
Although I don't know, showing mop heads is that much fun. That looked quite stressful.
No, that did look a little bit stressful. But if you were presented this challenge, what do you think you would have gone with?
I would have grabbed all of the microfiber cloths straight away. I'd have made a beeline for that. And I would have probably sewn them together into like a big checkerboard, because I think there was pink, yellow and orange. And I would have done, as quickly as I could, basically made a large piece of fabric from it. And then I would have probably either tried to drape that or cut pieces out to make a dress or a top from that.
Fair.
What have you done?
I actually lent more towards the mop heads. I would have tried to have made like some kind of either a cute asymmetric top with mop head fringing, or maybe like a bolero jacket out of the mop heads. Bolero jacket out of the mop heads, and kind of almost create a utilitarian faux fur jacket or something. that's kind of where my mind went to the moment I saw this challenge, was just grab the mop heads, grab a tabard, grab the mop heads, and just start sticking those bits of mop down on a top.
Okay, yeah, that would have been tricky, I think.
Yeah, I think that would have been the challenge that I didn't present anything on the mannequin, because it was still all stuck in my sewing machine.
I also think with this challenge, I spoke to a few people, and I think these unconventional challenges are really a Marmite thing where... Yeah. A lot of people absolutely hate these and like, why are they doing this? This is such a waste. Why are they doing this? Because I guess the reason why is because they're challenging the sewing bee contestants to think out of the box with items that you wouldn't normally have to deal mm-hmm. with, to see how they're going to cope with it and how they're going to produce something from something which you wouldn't normally sew with. But I can understand how it kind of annoys some people, because to them it doesn't seem like traditional sewing.
Yeah, but I think that's also one of those, I'm always on the fence a little bit with these ones, because sometimes I really, really like them, sometimes I really just can't stand them. So yeah, I'm always on the fence with them, but I also think sometimes we need to get out of the mindset of what traditional sewing is and be open. Because, I mean, look at people like Vivian Westwood and Alexander McQueen and all these people that stepped outside the box and actually became staples within the fashion industry because they stepped out of the box with their creations. They did unusual things. Like, some of the costume designers we have nowadays have to step out of the box because conventional, traditional sewing doesn't meet the needs of the things that they want to create. So I think it's, people need to keep an open mind to really what sewing is nowadays. Like, it's one of those things that's always going to keep evolving. And yeah, we've got 3D printed garments now. Like, that's still fashion, that's still textiles, but not typically sewn together the way traditional sewing would be viewed.
Definitely. It's interesting. Maybe we should do an extra episode after the series about this kind of things. I'm sure we could talk for a long time about
it. Oh, hell yeah, we could.
So I will jot that down as some extra things to talk about, but we should talk about how the sewing bees got on with this. So in fourth place, we had Tony, who had used like a blue tabard, and it was kind of like two different kind of bluey coloured tabards. And then he'd used a blue-green mop head. I don't have a lot of notes here. We love Tony. And I have to also say that this episode, Tony really showed a lot of fun, personality. He's so cool and calm and collected, and I would be absolutely freaking out in his situation, but he just comes across as so just chilled, and like, he's getting on with things, but you know, it's not bothering him. He's still kind of funny and joking about, which I absolutely loved. I didn't love this look. I was very amused when Esme, when Patrick was talking about where the mop heads had been placed, and Esme kind of pointing down to the crotch. That really made me laugh.
Oh, she's such a smutty lady. I love her. She is that sort of person I would be so nervous to like make a fart joke in front of. But I imagine like she is the first person to laugh when someone accidentally farts in the room. I just love this woman to bits. She's just so funny. But yeah, on the Tony situation, was not a fan of this in the slightest. I was getting a bit worried because at one point it just looked like he draped two tabards on a mannequin, and I think he just had a bit of a brain fart moment, you know, where you just go, oh, let's just keep adding stuff to it, rather than kind of taking a step back and go, right, okay, what is it missing? What does it need? What could be removed? It just became a bit of a utilitarian monster, really. It just, yeah, I think also you could tell what things were, and that kind of, Esme wanted something interesting to look at, and I think everyone else did very well in disguising what their materials were, whereas Tony's, you could tell it was two tabards and mop heads.
Yeah, I think it started really well. Like, when he got the first tabard on, it looked kind of cool, just the first one, like asymmetrical. It kind of sweeped across the bust from the shoulder. And I was like, oh yeah, this is great. Like, he just needs to kind of refine it, add some interesting details. Oh, this is going to be amazing. And then it kind of went a bit off track.
And it was that bit of mop head on the chest. Just didn't need it. It didn't need it. And it just, yeah, it just felt like he kind of had a panic.
Yeah, so that was Tony's. Let's leave Tony's there and go on to Asmus, who had used a yellow, orange and pink microfiber cloths. She had made those into a bodice. There were some darts there, so it fitted the mannequin really well. I spotted decorative stitching on there. It was like a little star stitch, which I thought was interesting. She had put those kind of almost spongy cloths that you would normally do the dishes or wipe the tops down with. She'd made those into sleeves. Personally, which I thought was interesting because they were structural and they produced a really interesting shape. Personally, I didn't love the scourer balls that were put as a trim. And I also wasn't a massive fan of the mop tie backs on the back of the top. I just felt a little bit like the judges, that they were to the front and the back almost felt very different. And those mop bits didn't really tie into the rest of it very well. What did you think of Asthma's Cup?
I am completely in the same boat as you. I thought everything looked really, really lovely. And again, one of those panic moments, you just need to look at it and go, does it need these? Probably not. Am I happy with it? Is there something I can remove? And I think she actually ruined it for me by putting the scourers on it, because actually it was a pretty cute top and she was doing really, really well. And again, she had taken the materials. You could have looked at that and gone, no, I don't know what that's made out of. But the scourers, you could tell what they were. Maybe if she'd just done something a bit more interesting with the scourers rather than just having them sewn on as a decorative feature. I don't know. I'm in the same boat as you. I wasn't feeling the scourers or the mop ties at the back. That just kind of ruined it for me. With this beautiful, like, colourful garment and then these, like, dull grey bits just sewn on. I was like, yeah, not feeling that. Not feeling that at all.
No, I wasn't either. Not the right decision for me. So let's move on to second place, where we had Mia. So Mia produced it was a bit short for a dress, but it was kind of like a top dress combination that you could, I guess, wear over shorts or trousers or leggings or something. Was made from pink and yellow rubber gloves, which I'm absolutely loving the color combination of pink and yellow. It's a real favorite of mine. It reminds me of those little kind of penny sweets you used to get when you were a kid. The rubber gloves, she kind of placed on the mannequin, pinned them in place, and then she, I think, hand sewed everything. I don't think she really put any of those gloves under the sewing machine, which would have been an absolute nightmare. I think the rubber would have stretched. I think the sewing machine would have not handled that rubber very well. So I think that was quite a good idea. I think she was quite brave using only one type of item as well, only using the rubber gloves. And I thought it was a really cute look. I don't know how practical it would be, but I thought it was a really cute look. What did you think of Mia's top?
I loved this so much. Incredibly brave. Very smart for not attempting to put it through a sewing machine, because that would have stretched and I could only see it getting really caught up and tangled inside the sewing machine. I thought she did a fantastic job. It was cute. It was playful. Again, she put her personality into the garment. Loved the colour combination. I am living for yellow and pink together. I think they are super cute together. I really think Mia has found her strength in creating cute, playful outfits. And she does it incredibly well. I take my hat off to Mia, because this was very brave, very clever, and the fact that everything was hand sewn, she is absolutely amazing.
Well done, Mia. We approve this item. It has the unpicked seal of approval.
Yeah, it does.
So moving on to the first place, which was Vicky. And it was really great to see Vicky get in first place here because of what had happened in the trench coat incident. So Vicky had produced a top. She had pleated one tabard to create kind of almost a fan shape, and then she had made her own woven fabric using a blue tabard and those kind of like rectangular scouring pads, silver. I thought this was genius. I don't know how she found the time to create that checkerboard fabric, because that would have been a lot of work weaving those together and then sewing them to make sure they didn't kind of fall apart. I thought the top had drama. I thought it was inventive. I thought it was a really interesting way to use the materials. I thought it was fantastic.
This was genius. And again, for someone who says they're not a very spontaneous creative person, this was so, so good. I am so, so proud of Vicky. Yeah, I just thought this was really cute, really clever, deserved first place, hands down. She did really, really well. I'm just very, very happy. And yes, seeing how we did in the first challenge, she really needed to kind of hit the nail on the head with this one. And she did it. She really did it. I am dead impressed.
Yeah, it was so great to see. And it was such a turnaround from the first challenge. And I think Vicky quite often has been kind of stumped in some of the transformation challenge from earlier weeks. For instance, the Art Week one springs to mind, where she kind of, I don't know, kind of panics or freezes and then kind of can't think what to do or make decisions quick enough. But I think she worked so fast and produced something that was just, yeah, was just fantastic. So well done.
That pleating detail on the front, it was just giving this avant-garde vibe to it, which I loved. And again, you look at it and you're not necessarily going to know what the materials are. And I think that's what Patrick and Esme really, really wanted, was to see something and go, oh, that's really, really interesting. And it's not until you get up close to it that you go, oh, that's what it's made from. And I think that's why Vicky and Mia did so well in this challenge. Because if you looked at the items, if you looked at the garments, you didn't really know what they were made out of. Whereas Tony's, it was pretty obvious what materials he had used. And I think Asma let herself down by sewing on the scouring pads, because it just gave it an obvious feature. Like you saw it and you knew exactly what it was. Whereas, yeah, the gloves that Mia used, where she'd done the pleating, she'd kind of hand sewn everything together, it just, from a distance, looks like fabric. Like, it wouldn't be until you got up close to it and go, oh, it's made out of rubber gloves. Or for Vicky's, where you go, oh, that's a really beautiful checkerboard feature. Oh, part of this is made out of a scouring brush, and the front of it that's beautifully pleated is actually made out of a tabard. I think that's why they did so well in this challenge.
Definitely, yeah. I think that using those materials but making them into something which didn't look like they were made from those materials, definitely. So that was the transformation challenge. And the final challenge of the semi-finals was the made to measure, where they had to produce a boiler suit and they had 5 hours to do it. Now, boiler suits can be quite tricky because of getting the measurements and the fit correct. I've done a few things kind of like this, and it can be really difficult because you have to make sure that the model can sit down. And if you imagine you are wearing, say, two separate trousers and a t-shirt, as you sit down, because those two things aren't connected, they can pull apart and, you know, and move independently. Whereas with a boiler suit, the top and the trousers are connected together. So as you sit down and that fabric is changing over your bum, it's pulling the top, so you need to make sure there's enough space. So it's a surprisingly tricky item to make. What did you think about them setting the boiler suit as a challenge?
I really want to make a boiler suit. I would probably have to go for a shorts version if I was going to make it for myself, because me being the proportions that I am, I'd just end up looking like a kid wearing their dad's clothes. But I thought this was a very, very good challenge, because they are so deceptive. They look like there'd be something really, really easy to make, but for the made to measure, it needs to fit like a glove. Like, you don't want it to be baggy around the bottom. You want it to fit nicely around the bottom and the crotch. You don't want it too long that it may elongates the body. You don't want it too short that everything's kind of riding up into the crotch. It's a deceptively challenging challenge. And I've just realized I've said challenge twice. it's a deceptively challenging challenge. That was really creative. You can tell who got like a C grade in his English GCSE. Yeah, I really, really liked this. And I think it was that perfect one to kind of really highlight who was going to be in the final.
It's also, I think, boiler suits are, if you were talking about utilitarian wear to people, a lot of people would immediately think of something like a boiler suit, because it's something that, you know, a mechanic might wear, a plumber might wear.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very workwear designed item.
Yeah. It's a staple in a utilitarian fashion collection.
I've got a work colleague who said that he would love to be prime minister, and he would love to basically get rid of the fashion industry and just provide everybody with 15 boiler suits. Everybody wears exactly the same. Everywhere has boiler suits, so no one can complain about what everybody else is wearing. And he said, it would just be amazing. It would get rid of people having to like try and use all their money to buy designer outfits, and everyone will wear the same. I think he's a little crazy, but
I think I'd need to have a little chat with this colleague. I'm not gonna lie, that sounds slightly concerning. And for those that are awkward body proportions, some of us look absolutely bloody ridiculous in boiler suits. So I may not be able to judge everyone else on what they're wearing, but I'll certainly be judging myself.
They would be well fit in boiler suits, he said. Like, we'd all give our measurements and they'd be really nicely fitting ones.
Yeah, we've barely got enough money for the NHS. How the hell is it going to fund everyone? Custom made boiler suits at that as well.
Right, let's start talking about how the sewing bees got on.
Yeah.
First up, we have Mia, who had used it was a floral print, and it was kind of like teals and greens. It was quite a busy print. It had small pink and orange highlights in there. She had put on four pockets. It looked really well sewn. It was a tiny bit big on the hips, and she'd added, I think she'd done the measurements on the model and then added a lot extra around the hips, and then realized it was too much and took some off, but maybe didn't take enough off. I'm in total agreement with Esme here. There's no need to do pattern matching on stuff like this. What did you think of Mia's?
I loved this print so much. It was just so cute. I thought she did a really, really good job. And you know what? I didn't mind that it was a little bit big around the hips. I just thought it was quite cute, and it gives people space to move around. And it's like, there are a lot like dungarees that some people like to wear really, really baggy ones. Some people like to wear fitted ones. I think it's all a preference to the wearer. It's all down to the preference of the wearer. I thought this was really, really cute. I really liked it, and it was actually one of my favourites.
Yeah, I I'm also in agreement with you there on the fit, because I thought the fit looked all right to me. And if I was going to wear something like this, I would want a little bit more room around the bum and the hips, just for movement and being able to sit comfortably and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I didn't really think there was much of a problem there with the fit, but we didn't see it up close, so we can't comment, you know.
No, we can't comment on that, but I really love this. And I do agree that Mia probably spent a lot of time unnecessarily pattern matching. But I also thought, actually, it made a huge difference to the top. It looked really nice, the fact that it pattern matched.
Wait a minute. No, she didn't pattern match.
Didn't she?
No, she was saying she didn't have time to pattern match. She was saying, no, it's too busy, I'm not pattern matching. And as Mia agreed, she said on
a... Oh, because... I must have missed that, because when you look at the top, it looks like she's pattern matched it.
No, it's because it's so busy that you can't actually tell the corners of the pocket and the edges of the pocket.
That's fair. I wouldn't have bothered. I completely missed that. I thought it was just not going to pattern match any of it whatsoever. I didn't realise it was... I missed that bit. Yeah, how many times have I watched this episode and I missed that one thing? Jesus. I didn't mind that she didn't pattern match that bit then. I take everything I just said back, because clearly I was just having a bit of a moment.
Right, that was Mia's. And let's move on to Tony's. So Tony had used a traditional kind of greeny camo fabric. It looked like it was cotton twill to me. And he had used orange highlights. And I think orange goes really well with camo. He had used black mesh panels over the orange pockets to kind of double up the pockets. I thought this was fun. I thought there was a lot of work going on here. I agreed with the judges. If you are going to use a contrasting stitch, use a top stitching thread, or use... Sometimes when I don't have a top stitching thread and I want the thread to be really contrasting and noticeable, I've got a triple stitch on my sewing machine. So it sews one stitch forward, one stitch back, and another stitch forward. And it's more of a stitch that you could use on stretch fabrics. But even on normal woven fabrics, it gives that kind of more bold look to it, because it kind of thickens up that kind of thread. So it does take a lot longer, though. I guess it takes three times as long to sew. But that would have been maybe an idea, because Patrick was right. As you stepped away from the outfit, you kind of lost that contrast stitching. But it looked well put together to me. There was a few little slight fitting issues, but again, I didn't think the fit was that bad.
Yeah, I thought he did a really, really good job of it. I love the color combination. I love the fact that he was mixing up textiles. It wasn't my overall favorite, just because I'm not a massive fan on camo, but I thought he did a really, really good job of it. I think it was really creative. It wasn't something I would have expected Tony to create. I don't know why. I would have gone, oh, camo, that's Tony. But there was just something quite playful about it, and something quite different that I wouldn't have expected Tony to come up with. And I just, yeah, I did like it. It wasn't my overall favourite, but I did really, really, really like it. I thought you did a fantastic job.
I'm glad you finished it there with that you really liked it and you did a fantastic job, because that came across so shady when you started that sentence, being like, yeah, it was really playful. I wouldn't have thought Tony would have come up with that.
That wasn't meant how it's probably come out. It was just, I would have imagined Tony to do something a bit more on the simpler side of it. Something more similar to what Vicky produced, maybe in the camo print. I wouldn't have expected him to be playful with all the textiles.
Yeah, no, we know what you mean. I'm just pulling your leg, Shawnee.
I know you are.
It was actually, think about now, it was that might be kind of fun outfit for a rave.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like back in the day, maybe I could see Tony wearing that, a couple of glow sticks raving away at a festival.
Oh, definitely. Definitely could see that.
All he needed was that, you know, that kind of, it kind of looks silvery gray, it's kind of matte, and it's that reflective fabric. He just needed a bit of that on there. You know, Glastonbury, Dance 10, yeah, what? Big
Yeah, no,
box, little box, cardboard box, whatever it is, little big
Big
fish, little
Fish, Little
fish.
Fish cardboard box.
That's the one.
I could definitely see that. It was just not something I'd have expected Tony to create, and I'm really glad that he surprised me with this.
Yeah, it was good work, Tony. I thought that was a lot of work went into that. So finally, no, not finally, we've still got two left. So up next we have Vicky, who had produced a, it was kind of like a muted orange color, and it was a simple boiler suit. It had kind of two pockets. It was like a pocket on pocket detail in the bodice section. And it had, but it did also have, I spotted two side pockets as well. So there were multiple pockets going on this. She had a few issues with the fit and with the popper placement causing some pulling and issues there. But I don't think they gave Vicky the amount of credit that she deserved for the pattern amendments that she had done. Which she had done before. She must have had the model's measurements and looked at the pattern and then said, right, okay, I need to, you know, change the width of this, and I need to put more space in for the bust and more space in for the hips and bum. And she had done so much work on that. It wasn't perfect, but the amount of work and adjustment she had done, I think maybe they edited bits out, but I think that she should have been given much more praise about doing that kind of thing, because that is not easy.
Oh, 100%. And I think where she had to do so many alterations to get it to fit perfectly, I think that really ate into her time. And that had she had just that little bit more, that she would have got things perfect. But yeah, there were a few issues. You could see the fly poking out through it. The waistband looked a little bit like it hadn't quite caught, but I think she did a really, really good job. This is like your classic boiler suit, and I think she did really, really well. And I love the fact that she has had, I'm pretty sure she's had the same model throughout the competition. And I love the fact that she has got someone who is of a bigger size, because fashion is for every body shape. Clothing is for every body shape, and it's all about learning how to tailor it to match people's body shapes. I think she did a really good job. She definitely deserved a lot more credit. And you know what? Maybe she got a bit more credit for all of the hard work she put in. Maybe it was just editing the show that we didn't get to see all of it. But yeah, she did. She should be really proud of that.
Yeah, I think she did really well, and I think that she had taken the boiler suit in a slightly different direction. She had gone from a more kind of like a sleek utilitarian look vibe without a lot of the extra, you know, bells and whistles. And I thought it was great. It was a shame that there was a couple of those issues that you mentioned, like around the fly and the where the poppers had gone on and the waistband and stuff, that if those had been perfect, this would have looked beautiful.
It would have. And you know what? I love the fact that it was based on Orange is the New Black.
Oh, was that? I thought it was based on her brother and sister-in-law who worked on an oil rig.
It probably was, but it was the fact that it was called Orange is the New Black.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I
I
love
missed that.
this. Love, love, love that bit. So, yeah, I thought she did a really, really good job.
I actually want a boiler suit like that. I think that would be kind of cool. I wouldn't wear it in orange. I'd probably make it in black or something. But I think that would be a really cool look.
Yeah, I don't think I could rock it in orange. I mean, I can't rock a boiler suit anyway. I'm just not the right body shape for a boiler suit. But if I was, I wouldn't have it in orange. I don't actually know what colour I'd have it in. Now that I think of it, I really don't know what colour I'd have it in. Never really thought of myself wearing a boiler suit, to be honest.
I think, just jumping back to Tony, I think that I actually own that pattern that Tony used. If it's the pattern I'm thinking of, and I think it's a quick sew pattern, and it's like, it's kind of like a boiler suit overalls pattern, and I bought it and I've had it for about 5 years in my pattern stash, and I think I'm going to have to at some point dig that out and use that.
Fair enough. I would like, right, I'll make a trench coat, you make the boiler suit.
Okay, we can do that. We'll Fab. Do that. After the wedding, I will I will get on that. Oh, I've got loads of denim to use up.
Oh, hell yes.
Maybe a denim boiler suit. I don't know whether that'll be a bit much.
No, you could rock it.
Okay, we'll see. So anyway, we are going wildly off topic here.
Yeah.
On to the last sewing bee contestant, Asma, who had used a black fabric, which looked like it had silver lurex in almost like pinstripes, and it caught the light and kind of sparkled a little bit. I thought this boiler suit was very rock and roll, very chic. She'd used shiny metal speed clips for the pockets. She had gone with a black zip, not the zip that I think she brought with her, which was navy and silver teeth. She'd gone with a fully black zip, which I think was probably the right decision. It looked incredibly well sewn. The fit was generally really good. I think Esme pointed out that she thought the crotch was a little bit short, like around the bum region. But generally, it just looked superb. It looked like something you could just buy from a fancy shop. I loved it. What did you think of Asma's?
I hated it. Absolutely hated it. I thought it was disgusting. I thought it was the worst thing I've ever seen on sewing bee.
Lies.
Awful fabric choice, like awful accessories. No, just thought it was absolutely disgusting. Like, oh, just could not stand it. Oh my God, this was beautiful. Oh, it was just so impressive. Like, seriously, that was stunning. And if I could rock a boiler suit, that is the sort of boiler suit I would have gone for. And I love the fact that she even went for a long waistband, long belt on it. So the belt came down to the knees, because I just thought that just gave it just something extra. And oh my God. Like, seriously, every single week she sews something that I sit and go, no, this is my new Asma favorite. Like, this is the best thing Asma's ever sewn. And every week she produces something new, and I'm like, yeah, no, this is my new favorite now. That's my new favorite now. Like, seriously, between this and the dress she made for the 90s model challenge, oh my God, like, seriously, those are beautiful. Like, I seriously cannot think of any other words to describe Asma and her sewing. Like, she is just so amazing. And I just want to spend a day learning everything she knows about sewing, because she is just amazing. I have no other words to describe her.
No, I think we've covered it. I think we've covered a lot of how amazing Asma is. The sewing level is just beyond. I thought this was so cool. It just looked so fantastically done, and the model was really rocking it, and it was amazing. And we're going to go on to Garment of the Week, which was Asma.
Of course.
And I thought it was quite interesting, because she hadn't got Garment of the Week for ages, and now I think this is the third one on the trot that she's got.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fantastic going into the final, that she's had Garment of the Week 3 times in a row.
I'm just so happy for her. Seriously, like, as much as everyone did really, really well, I don't think anything could have beaten that jumpsuit for Garment of the Week.
No, I feel like that jumpsuit was elevated and it was in a category of its own.
Oh, hell yes.
So that was this week's episode. That was the Garment of the Week. And then moving on to the very sad, sad news, we had to say goodbye, as always, to one of our sewing bee. And this week it was Vicky. And it was a really sad farewell. I think she's done so fantastically throughout the competition. I think she's got a really great skills of fitting. I think the way she fits to the models is really beautifully considered. And I think she's got just fantastic sewing skills. So it's really sad. And she's really funny as well. It will be really sad to see her go.
It is heartbreaking because she's a very talented sewer. And I love the fact that she considers the body shape when she sews. She likes to make things. She's just got something about her that is just so, so incredibly lovely. And it's really sad to see her go. I could really see her being in the final, but I think with the first challenge, the buttons not being right, rushing everything, picking that choice of fabric, even though it was the most logical, and in theory it was the best choice, practicality, it wasn't a great one. And I think that's probably what caused her little downfall in the morning. We picked it up again in the transformation challenge. And yeah, there were just, when you look at what everyone else created, I think it was only fair for Vicky to go this week. Just when you compared everyone else's jumpsuits to what she had created, it was very obvious that there were some fit mistakes, some flaws. It's really sad to see her go, but I do think it was only fair when you see what everyone else has produced in this episode that we just weren't having a very good day today.
Yeah, I think the combination of the boiler suit and the trench coat, even though she did amazing at the transformation challenge, I think the combination of the other two just put her slightly below, I think maybe where Tony was. So it did seem like it was fair, even though it was heartbreaking for anyone to go at that stage. But I hope Vicky's really proud. I mean, even just to get on the show is a huge achievement. Yeah. And then get all the way to the semi-finals, oh my God, that's incredible.
Yeah, she has done really, really well. And like you just said, to get on the show is a challenge. I would know. I have been applying a lot. It is a really, really hard show to get onto. So to be in that small percentage of sewers in the UK to be invited on the show is an achievement in itself. But to get through to the semi-final and be in the top four is just an absolutely amazing achievement to have made. And she should be ridiculously proud of everything that she has done.
Yes, well done. Well done, Vicky. Looking back, I've just flicked through my notes, my notepad, which is now very full, to week one, where I had said my top three were going to be Asma, Vicky, and then either Lauren or Matthew. So Vicky was in my original top three. So it's a shame I did not predict correctly.
Well, I think we're both in, I think my top three, the only one remaining is Asma. I don't have my notes from week one on me, But I'm pretty sure asthma is my only one left from my initial choice, my initial pick in week one. So yeah, I think we both asthma and Matt were the only ones that we had both picked together, and the others were kind of different. I can't believe it's nearly over though. It feels like only like yesterday that it started again.
Yeah, so next week is the final. I don't think they really gave a lot away about what's going to happen in the final. Normally, they have to do occasion wear, so it's usually some kind of ball gown as the final challenge. So I'm not sure what the other challenges are going to be.
Yeah, I could see from the clips, it looks like a circle skirt is involved in the pattern challenge. But I couldn't really tell. It would just be really lovely to see all the sewing bees back together again for the final. Who do you think is going to take it home, though?
I would be shocked if Asthma didn't win.
I am on board with you on that. If I will be really, really shocked if Asthma doesn't win. But I think everyone's going in with some incredible skills, and I'm really excited to see what everyone creates.
Definitely. I think all three of them have different skill sets and are fantastic. I think Asma's sewing skill and speed and the way she does it is precise and beautiful and always seems to fit the model really well. I think Mia is incredibly creative and with picking different things that you wouldn't necessarily have thought of and putting a lot of her own style into every garment that she makes. And Tony is incredibly skilled as well, and he has done some outfits which have really surprised me, like the scuba dress in Kids Week, which I just wouldn't have even thought of. And he has got some really great ideas that he throws in and does throwbacks to, you know, 90s outfits, which are just fun and fantastic. So I think they've all got skills there. For me, just Asthma, though, is just, she's next level.
Yeah, I think it's Asthma's precision. It's Mia's creativity. And I think the one thing that I liked most about Tony is the fact that he always surprises me.
Yes, yeah.
He always just does something that I sit and go, did not expect that of you. And I'm really glad that you've proved me wrong. Yeah, I just can't believe we're at the end already.
We are, and we're at the end of this podcast because we are running over.
We are, and I'm hungry, so I've got to go.
So thank you everyone for listening, if you still are. And that's a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.
Bye.
Bye.